Hello guys and welcome to Watson Serie A. We are going to analyze the second match day. Everybody is looking at the Calcio Mercato, Dani Fisichella, but we are gonna look at the games we have this weekend. It looks like there is no football, but actually we have a lot of football to enjoy still this weekend. How are you, Dani?
Hi, Edu. It's great. It was a great first weekend in Italian football. Well, would you believe it? Serie A was the league with most goals in the top five leagues in Europe this weekend, over 36, if I count it correctly. But there's a lot going on and off the pitch. I'm sure we'll talk about this later, but let's start with the first few games tonight on Friday.
Exactly, following the trend that the Serie A is following the last years, a lot of goals, a lot of excitement. And guys, of course, don't forget to leave a comment in the video to ask any question to our Italian expert, Dani Fisichella. And of course, if you enjoy our videos, click on the like, you will support us, subscribe and click on the bell to get notifications. So, Dani, you are right, we have already tonight, some games in Italy, in Udine, in the northeast of Italy, Udinese, Venezia. These two cities, actually, they are not far from each other. Udinese, they had a good debut in this Serie A, a draw against Juventus. They were very lucky, I have to say. Of course, Szczesny made a lot of mistakes. Also, the VAR, a completely opposite what happened last season, that they were a bit unlucky against Juve. Good point for Gotti's men, whereas Venezia, Dani, in their comeback to Serie A, a defeat 2-0 against Napoli. I think that can happen. The question is that if they could have done a little bit more because they were playing against 10 men.
I think a good learning curve for Udinese, you know, if your first game at home is against Juventus, the first game of the season, and you manage to rescue a point, despite being under the cosh for over 60 minutes, I would say, I think things can only improve for them. But yes, they deserved probably to lose based on the first half performance, but they showed that resilience that they had shown in the previous year. Udinese under Gotti has always been a team very aggressive, very physical, the press is high. If they stick to those principles, I think they're going to be hard to beat, especially at home. Let's not forget, last season they had a very good record, especially in terms of clean sheets and goal conceded at home up until March, April, and then they kind of let it go a little bit. I think this time Gotti is going to start with two up front, De Olofeo and Okaka, who did well, especially De Olofeo in the second half against Juventus. Udinese, unfortunately, lacks still a big goal scorer. Last year, they produced a lot of crosses, a lot of shots, but didn't score enough compared to what they produced. Of course, they kept the same squad last year. They are missing the Paul. And the problem with missing the Paul is that they do miss that spark, that creativity, someone who breaks the line. They bought the young Samardzic, 19 years old, from Leipzig. Will we see him soon enough? We'll see, maybe probably after the break. I think with Venezia, a positive debut at Napoli, I predicted they were going to get beaten by not without scoring, and in fact, it happened. But they stuck to the task. I think they were organized. You know, they didn't go gung-ho to attack Napoli. They tried to keep the ball. And you know, that's what Paolo Zanetti tries to instill in the team. However, once Napoli were reduced with 10 men, they didn't have a plan B. They thought, oh, now we need to attack. What do we do? And they kind of crumble there. Napoli also missed a penalty. They will make a lot of changes for this game, Zanetti has said. They will still go out with a 4-3-3. So I think they're going to try and attack Udinese a little bit more. But I think Udinese, it's strong. It's stronger. Clean sheet, 2.20. Edu? I think we stopped. I think at least the streaming has stopped. So yeah, we were saying clean sheet for
always in the north of Italy. Last year, the two fixtures Verona with a narrow margin and the
Verona Inter. Yes, sir. Yeah.
really for Inzaghi. And you hear.
Well, I think Edu is having some problems with the connection. So let me talk you through this Verona-Inter game. So Verona comes on the back of a 2-3 defeats against Sassuolo. Inter on the back of a 4-0 wins against Genoa in the first game. And, you know, I think Verona had chances versus Sassuolo. They hit the bar when it was 0-0. And you can see what Di Francesco is trying to do. He's trying to get to retain the ball a bit more, having more ball possession in a team that was typically under Juric very aggressive and very physical. It's not surprise that last year, Verona was in the top three teams for aerial duels and for long balls. So it's a team that is quite very direct, but under Di Francesco, they try to keep the ball a little bit more. Good acquisition for Verona this week. Simeone, El Cholito, the son of Diego Pablo Simeone. 50 goals in Serie A already between Fiorentina and Cagliari. So I think he will add something to the squad. It's a team that always lacked a little bit of a goal scorer. Zaccagni, though, is in form, so he's going to be a threat, especially on Inter right-hand side, where Dumfries maybe and obviously Skriniar operates. And for Inter, strong start. I think many people were surprised by the fact that Inter started so strongly, despite not having Lukaku, despite not having Hakimi. We saw slightly an Inter that like to have the ball a little bit more. I think the fact that they played with a false nine like Sensi that could link up well with Çalhanoğlu helped them. Dzeko obviously opened the space a lot for the runners. So it's an Inter that tried to look less for the direct ball into the feet of the center forward, because obviously they don't have a Lukaku. So I think they need to carry on with this having a good impression. But they also had some issues at the back. You know, Genoa could have scored one or two. However, let's not forget, it's still a strong Inter lineup, still the same back three and midfielder last season. But I don't see them winning as comfortably as they did against Genoa. So I'm going to do Verona Asian Handicap plus one, 1.93. And I hope Edu is now back with me. If you don't come back, as Govinda is saying, I'm just saying.
So let's see if internet is working. So no, Inter Asian Handicap minus one, Dani?
No, I would rather go Verona Asian Handicap plus one. I think it's not gonna be an easy one for Simone Inzaghi's men. So remember, if Inter wins by one goal margin, you get your money back. If it's a draw, you are winning the money.
Then last game, let's see if internet is okay. Now Atalanta Bologna. Atalanta lucky start, 1-2 victory against Torino in the very, very last minute. What a goal, also scored by Muriel, the first one, whereas Bologna, they defeat Salernitana 3-2 with three red cards actually in that game after the defeat 4-5, so Mihajlovic is entertaining us actually in this start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, Bologna, it's definitely entertaining. I'm not sure how balanced they look this season. They got a lot of talent up front. They got a lot of options, and we saw it also in the game against Salernitana, despite them being reduced to 10 men first and to 9 men in the end. They still managed to score 3, but in the home game so far, including the Coppa Italia you mentioned, they've already conceded 7. What are trying to achieve Bologna this season? Well, we all know they're not going to qualify for Europe. So they'll try to go to the top of the table, as top as possible, maybe top 9, top 8, and try to entertain. That's why they brought another striker like Arnautovic. That's why they brought another interesting striker who's the son of Pierre Van Hooijdonk, a very big, tall striker that is going to be another option. Because in the few years ago, Bologna always lacked that reference, that big center forward that can, you know, allow play. And we saw already Arnautovic was capable of doing, got the ball in the area, turn and score a wonder goal. I'm sure Vignato, Barro, Palacio are going to benefit from him. But the issues with Bologna are, of course, at the back. A very inexperienced midfield, I would say, and a young, some young defenders. Although, you know, Bonifazi could be a good acquisition. Atalanta, they scraped it against Torino. I think they lowered the rhythm too much in the second half. They allowed Torino in the half, but you have to say also they were missing six or seven key players, including Zapata up front. For this one, they do recover Toloi and Freuler, so it's really important. Toloi, let's not forget, is part of one of these teams that won the Euros in the summer. And obviously, Flora is important, still without Zapata, still without the Ronnie suspended. This is a really important period for Atalanta because normally they don't start the league very strongly. Actually, they tend to lose points, especially when they start the Champions League as well. And that's why at the end of the season, they always have to play catch-up. But they finish seasons very strongly. So if they can start well, I think they can have a shot at the title this time. I think I can see goals, especially because Bologna is leaky at the back. Over 3.5, 206 for this game at Azzurri d'Italia. Guys, obviously you can let us know in the comment what you think is going to happen on this game while I wait for Edu to come back or to sort out his internet. I think we should move on to the next game, which is Lazio Spezia. So Lazio started with a win at Castellani in Empoli, 3-1. Good, convincing performance from Sarri's men, although they conceded quite a lot in the first half, and then also in the second half, Empoli hit the post. But, you know, it was the kind of football that lots of people expected from Sarri. So, expansive football, attacking, and yes, leaving some gaps at the back. This time, Lazio brings back Luis Alberto, so we should start with his best 11. They are clearly adapting to the new system, having Lazzari, for example, as a right back. Lazzari, he was one of the best wing back in the last season, but now has to adapt to have a man in front of him and cover the space behind him. So that's where sometimes, but obviously he scored against Empoli, so he's a threat going forward. We already saw good things from Milinkovic-Savic, we've got a great impact. So I think with this Lazio, it's gonna be interesting this season. As I said, it will take a while for the players to adapt to Sarri's tactics. Vano says over 3.5. Yes, possibly. I don't think the odds are very high, but yes, I think Lazio is capable of scoring in both half, is capable of scoring in Spezia. And when we talk about Spezia, I think it's one of the teams that have lost most key players so far this season. They have changed many of them. They don't seem to have the strength in depth that they had last season with Italiano, because they operate a lot of loans in the market. So I think, you know, they are a bit lacking something in some parts of the pitch. And also, I'm really curious to see if they really have the players to play the kind of football, the possession football that Thiago Motta wants to play. With Italiano, they were trying to recover the ball up high, pressing up high, high intensity, a very fit team that had to run a lot. They play a lot on the wing, so they try to use more the wing play rather than coming into the middle, also because they don't have Nzola anymore, because I mean Nzola is still on the side, but the manager doesn't like him. So yes, I mean with Spezia it's tricky to see them doing better than last year. Also, I saw they chose in goal Zut instead of Provedel. He was calamitous against Cagliari. He let the two goal in. He shouldn't let them. So I can see a Lazio winning this one. So, by the way, welcome back to Edu. Half time, full time, Lazio 205.
Danny, you are the best. This is what happens if you don't pay internet, but I know that you are tipping a lot of goals for Atalanta and also Lazio to win. Let's hope.
Half time, full time, yes. I can do a quick recap. So we said Atalanta Bologna over 3.5 goals, that pays over 206. Lazio Spezia, half time, full time, Lazio.
Yes. Okay, then let's hope that internet is okay now, and let's move on to our next game in the Artemio Franchi, Fiorentina, Torino. Torino, you already mentioned actually that they made a good game, but they lost 1-2 in their debut against Atalanta. The good news, I guess, is that Belotti scored a goal, a lucky one, I have to say as well. Whereas Fiorentina, probably we have to wait a little bit to see their level. They lost against Roma, but also they played with 10 men because Dragowski was sent off very early. And we expect more probably about Fiorentina. This is a good game, Danny, to see what is the level of these two teams this season, because last year they were disappointed, especially Torino.
Both were disappointing, I think. Were had very poor home form. Fiorentina left a good impression in the first game at the Olimpico. We could see more intricate play. You could see them trying to retain the ball more, going less for the long ball and direct ball into Vlahovic. You see, you can tell Italiano is having an impact. There is a project. There is something going on. And in fact, his Spezia team last year was very fit, had a precise game plan, press high. Really impressed with Fiorentina with the new acquisition, Nico Gonzalez from Stuttgart. They broke the transfer record and they brought a player that, you know, is very good with both feet, can play in each side of the pitch, especially when they were reduced with 10 men because they had to substitute Callejon. He was doing a lot of link-up play, so really, really interesting one to see. And let's see if they give a debut to Torreira, to the Uruguayan, because he's coming from being sidelined at Arsenal, bad season as well, bad spell in La Liga. He had problems on and off the pitch, but I think this could be another interesting acquisition, especially because he brings that kind of short passes, short movements, quick movements in midfield. Maybe he could play in place of Pulgar for this game. Torino, well, basically Torino, Juric has one task, it's just to make them more attacking minded. They have lost that kind of spirit, that kind of, you know, courage to go forward during the years. And they settle in a very defensive shape many times. Last year, they started doing more possession football with Gianpaolo. It didn't work. Then they had to revert to 3-5-2 under Nicola. They were hard to beat, but they weren't pretty to watch. So Juric has got a big task in hand. But, you know, if you look at the game against Atalanta, you wonder, they always find a way to make their life awful and complicated. You know, they were 1-1. They let that goal in, leaving the striker onside on the very last minute. Poor defending. Belotti, as you mentioned, is crucial. Good news for them is staying, because Inter were approaching him during the week, but he's staying. But for this one, I think Fiorentina are going to show us the improvements they've already made under Italiano. They're going to win. Good odds for Fiorentina winning. 2.3, as you can see on your screen, so let's go for it.
Malith is telling us a strategy to be followed, which is betting on draws. And if there are three or four draws, actually, you are going to get some good money. And Malith, actually, if you follow our Bundesliga show with Radek Vegas, this is a strategy that he follows a lot also. Danny mentioned many times betting one-third of a unit, for instance, if you are betting on the draw, because usually the odds, like in this game, are 3 or 4. So we actually agree with you, and we think this is a good strategy. And many times it can give us a lot of money, because always the odds are very good for the draw, especially in these kind of games that are quite balanced. Although Danny expects here a home victory, as I guess you also expect a home victory in our last game on Saturday evening, Juventus Empoli. Danny, time to talk a lot about Juventus. They lost 2 points against Udinese, especially because of Szczesny's calamities. And I read that one of the biggest mistakes of Juve recent years is not signing Donnarumma. And I don't know if you agree before we talk, actually, how much they are going to lose also if they let Cristiano go, as it looks like, and what is going to be their replacement and how Juventus can suffer with this transfer window.
Juventus thought this summer that they had to strengthen the midfield first. And they thought that the problem that they showed last season in important games when they didn't dominate the ball, the possession, they were under the cosh, were due to the fact that they lacked a regista. They replaced Pjanic with Arthur. It didn't quite work. They knew that the funds were tight, so they went for Locatelli, who, by the way, I don't think he's a regista, to be fair. I think he's a very good incursor runner. We call him incontrista in Italy. He can organize the play, but he needs, like in the national team, again, one of these, someone next to him, a Barella, a Verratti, that can actually also has got more string to his bow, long passes, short passes, etc. Donnarumma, they could have probably signed him on a free, because in the end he went to PSG, but I'm not sure the player would have wanted to go to a Milan rival on a free, so maybe they would have spent some money on that. It is true that the finances of Juventus are tight because they are burdened by a 30 million euros wage per year of Ronaldo. Now, it seems that Ronaldo, well, it is sure that Ronaldo is going to leave Juventus. We still don't know where is he going to go, but let's be clear. It's not that Ronaldo has failed at Juventus. It's Juventus that failed with Ronaldo because they didn't build him a team that was competitive enough to fulfill his ambition, which is to win titles years after years. Okay, last year they won the Coppa Italia. Imagine how important is that for Ronaldo to win and compete in the Champions League. Ronaldo is a player that has scored more goals in the knockout stages of the Champions League for Juventus. Today, I also read a statistic that is very interesting. If he goes to Man City, Ronaldo has scored more goals in the Champions League knockout stages than the entire Man City in his history. So we are talking about a great player that is going to guarantee you 25, 30 goals a season. So they're going to let Ronaldo go. Who are they going to replace him with? Maybe Moise Kean. You know, they're going to buy him back because they sold him to Everton. So, you know, Raspadori. I don't know. I know the bookmakers make them favorite to win the title. I wonder if the odds are going to change after this weekend. But let's go back to Juventus Empoli very quickly. We saw a good Juve, you know, for 60 minutes. We saw a better Dybala with more responsibility because he wears the armband. This is the season he needs to step up as well. He needs to decide what he wants to do in his life. I mean, he's 27 years old. He's not, you know, he's got a baby face, but he's an old player already. He needs to do better. They started strong, the Juventus. Then, you know, they doddle a little bit. They play an Empoli team that is very propositive, create a lot of chances at Lazio, also because Lazio allowed them playing higher the pitch. Look, Juventus are gonna win this one. The odds are very low. Go for both to score if you want to be adventurous, 2-5.
Okay, and for you, Juventus to win. The next one is very tricky, in my opinion, in Marassi. In Genoa, Napoli, the odds are very low for Napoli to win, only 1.59. They won the first game against Venezia with Spalletti on the bench, and we know that Genoa were thrashed against Inter Milan. But Dani, last season, actually, Genoa beat Napoli 2-1 other times with a brace scored by Pandev. And probably in this stage of the season, so early, these odds for Napoli to win in Marassi, which is always a difficult stadium, in my opinion, they are very low.
Yeah, they are very low. I think maybe bookies are going to get carried away just with the fact that, you know, Napoli almost finished in the Champions League last year, and Genoa scraped salvation in the end, although they had a good spell in the middle with Berlandini. I think the Genoa that we saw at San Siro at the beginning, they didn't have the right shape. They defended with four. Why defending with four? With Inter only playing with one striker. So they were leaving a lot of gaps in the middle of the pitch. Then when they went back to the 3-5-2, which they know better, they were better, but the game was already out of their hands. They have interesting players in the middle. They go, especially Rovella, 19 years old, but he needs help. It is a Genoa team that, if you look at it, they are worse than last year because they sold the keeper, okay, they got Sirigu, but they sold Strootman, that was really important for them, someone who can pass the ball, dictate the tempo. They sold Shomudorov up front, Destro is leaving as well, who was the leading goal scorer with 11 goals, and they're left with Pandev. How long is he going to go for? I mean, he didn't have a sniff of the ball against Inter. Skriniar and De Vrij completely nullified him. And now he's against Manolas and Koulibaly. It's going to be difficult. And the young Callon, good movements, missed three clear chances. For Napoli, they left to play without Osimhen because he's been sent off for a punch against a Venezia player. So they left to play either with a number nine, with the Chucky Lozano, or Petagna with a real number nine. Let's see what Spalletti decides. They're also going to be without Zielinski, replaced by Elmas. So a little bit of tinkering for Spalletti to do there. But I think the big task for Spalletti in a transfer market where they haven't bought anyone is to basically convince their players that they are better, like they're as good as anybody. They don't have to have inferiority complex and they need to approach each game as a big team. If they do that, I think they can climb up the table and they qualify for the Champions League. For this one, because Napoli can exploit with their pace the back four or back three, let's see, of Genoa, which is a little bit static, I think they're going to be over 1.5 goals in the first half, which pays 250. So basically, if the first half ends 2-0 or more, you're winning 250. If the first half ends 1-0 or less, you've lost your stake.
Okay, then let's talk a little bit about the other team of the city, Sampdoria. They are traveling to Sassuolo, who got a good victory, 2-3 in the Bentegodi in the first game. You mentioned Raspadori, who might go to Juventus, and he opened the scoreboard. So, good start for the new coach, for Dionisi, whereas Samp, they lost at home 0-1 against Milan. Here we find good odds for a team that we expect a lot this season, Sassuolo.
Absolutely. And Sassuolo showed both faces against Sampdoria. The good going forward, the intricate play, the second goal from Juricic is a peach, go and watch it. But they also showed the frailties at the back, which we knew them also against Under the Zerbi. It's a team that sometimes overplays. They make their life complicated by trying to build in from the back, even sometimes too much, trying always the short pass to the keeper or to the next player. Sometimes it doesn't quite work, but it is an exciting team because you have to also look at the couple of midfielders that Dionisi is playing. Frattesi, this is a play, put your eyes on it, put your money on him, you'll see him on the Mancini squad very, very soon. He's a young player, but brilliant with the ball. And then they go to Maxim Lopez. So they also have two players that, you know, they're very good at building the play, but they're not, you know, the most physical ones. So they're always going to have issues with teams that, you know, they still have a lot of talent up front. Dionisi will try this season to give them a little bit more solidity at the back. Whereas Sampdoria, it confirmed the impression from last season. It is a team that, in order to create chances, they need to play a lot into the opposition half. They need to create a lot in order to score. They don't have players that can change the game or can create situations just like this out of a sudden. So they need to be present a lot in the opposition half. In fact, against Milan, they almost succeeded. They played more balls, more passes than Milan in the opposition half, yet they lost. Two interesting team, but I think Sassuolo are favorite for this one. So you could go for the win. It's not bad odds, but the one I put down is Sassuolo to score in both halves, 2.75.
Then let's go to Milan, to San Siro. Milan, Cagliari. Milan, last season they had a lot of trouble playing at home. Let's see what they can offer us in this first game at home, because it was a positive debut in Serie A with that victory we spoke before in Marassi. The goal scored by Ibrahim, the former Real Madrid player, who was also last year on loan with Milan. And Cagliari, Dani, they rescued at least a point when they were 2-0 down against Spezia, with who else is going to be? João Pedro scoring both goals.
Yeah, João Pedro, you know, great, great, great servant for Cagliari. This is a team then This is a game that will tell us, is Milan better than last year? This is really important. I think this is a key game. It will tell us a lot because last year, let's not forget, Milan were poor at home, only 30 points in the home table, whereas they were the best teams playing away. And also they struggle a lot at home. Also against Cagliari, last year he ended 0-0. He almost stopped them going into the Champions League when teams were obviously defending in group, which Cagliari can do, especially under Semplici when they play away. So this is a key game for Milan, who will be still without Ibrahimovic, still without Frank Essier, but they could see a good Brahim Diaz in the first game. It was really good to come into the Milan midfield to elude his marker and create the play. If he continues playing like this, I think Milan supporters will think they had obviously a gem in their team, and it was a good idea to let Çalhanoğlu go for free. Still, some Milan players are not in the best form, especially Theo Hernandez, but they can only improve. So let's see what happens. They play with a Cagliari team that looked a little bit, distracted, not focused, especially in the first half against Spezia. They conceded two stupid goals, I would say. Then they got that resilience that they had also last year. Let's not forget, when Semplici took over, they were in the relegation zone, and then they managed with a great run of results to get salvation. They will be without a keeper, Cragno. I think Milan have improved since last year, so I'm going to go for Milan to win the first half, too.
You said that Theo Hernandez can only improve, and I'm very curious to see his season, because we all know that he has talent, he has a great physical condition, but his head has been so-so sometimes in the past, and it's a good point to see if he can keep up the level what he showed last season. But we have the whole season to know that. And our last game is Salernitana-Roma. What a debut for the special one for Jose Mourinho. It looks like a glove in a hand with Mourinho and Roma, even for the from the first days when he was driving the Vespa. And also Roma won in the Conference League easily against Trabzonspor. They won 3-1 with a lot of character against Fiorentina. The worst news is that Zaniolo was sent off. The good news is that Zaniolo scored again in yesterday, actually, against Trabzonspor. So you like this new special one of for Roma, Dani? And then they are playing against Salernitana. Last time Roma traveled to Salernitana was in 1999, when Salernitana was in Serie A, and actually they lost in that season. Roma lost 2-1 with Zeman on the bench.
I like the new version of Mourinho, Mourinho 2.0, in the special one return in Italy. It's a very attacking-minded Roma. They've invested a lot in the transfer market. This is the team that spent the most money so far in the Italy. And, good win at the midweek, good performance against Fiorentina, especially Tammy Abraham. I think Roma has found a new idol. Very good feet, good movements. He provided two assists. I think he's showing why for many months he's been the main man in the Chelsea attack. Then came Tuchel, he came out of favor, but now he's trying to relaunch his career. Let's not forget, he's also very young. And then you mentioned Zaniolo. Zaniolo is probably the biggest signing of the season, because they didn't have it because of injuries for 1 year and a half. He's going to be suspended, but Mancini has already called him back to the national team. I'm sure we'll see more of him, and a lot depends from Zaniolo. Roma's got a lot of choices up front. Shomudorov, El Shaarawy, Borja Mayoral, Mkhitaryan, Pellegrini. So it is a team that looks, Mourinho's got plenty of choices. Obviously, in the middle of the pitch, a lot depends from how fit Veretout and Cristante are going to be for the rest of the season. But then they might be a little bit short. Still without Smalling for this one. I think Roma going to go, perhaps Mourinho, we're going to see, the hardcore Mourinho in this one. Playing away, perhaps a 1-0 win, try to not concede. make sure maybe they can hide them on the counter. Mourinho is not going to lose points on this one. He knows Italian football so well. He knows that these are the games that can win you or lose you a title. Not the big games, these small games against the newly promoted teams, especially away. Salernitana, I like them for 50 minutes against Bologna. I think, again, similar to Venezia, they lost the plot once Bologna were with 10 men. They didn't have the plan B. It's almost they seem to not to know how to lead the game. But it is a team that I think could score a few goals during the season. Simi, I liked him a lot at Crotone last year, of 16, 17 goals for the Crotone who went down. Good partnership with Bonazzoli. Hopefully, I think, you know, this is someone to watch for the following of the season. You can score you can bet on the goal market for Salernitana. But not this one. Roma clean sheet, 2.75.
Mm-hmm. Roma to win the Scudetto, 14.0. I have to say if Mourinho will win again.
Stranger things have happened. Stranger things.
Why not? This is going to be, I think, a very open Serie. And by the way, Roma was very good last season also against small teams until the end of the season where they paid the effort of the Europa League. So let's see if the first game away for Mourinho with Roma is good. Tony is telling us Roman under 2.5 goals has a lot of appeal, as you said, 0-1 for Roma, and just Catenaccio and defend and lock the door. Then we have the 10 games analyzed. Danny, let's finish the video with your account.
Five games as always. So let's start with Atalanta Bologna, both to score. Lazio to score in the first and in the second half, Juventus to win the first half, Sassuolo and Sampdoria over 2.5 goals, and as we said before, Roma win at Salernitana. Total odds 15.26.
Okay, Danny, thanks everyone also for watching and commenting the video with us. You can still leave your tips in the comment section. And don't forget, of course, to click on the like, subscribe, and click on the bell to get notifications. Danny, let's see each other next week. We have an international break, but we have many interesting games in Europe and in South America to analyze and to place our bets. Thanks, Danny. Grazie. And ci vediamo presto.
Ciao. Bye. Enjoy Serie A. A great show. Bye.